You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Robert here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us shortly. Rumor has it around 7:30. We'll see.
Kuharsky's taking strays like all over the place. Brian Summers says, I can't wait to watch and listen to PK spiral on air about the Titans keeping five tight ends, even though they won't have five tight ends on the roster by the end of the week. Why am I defending PK all day? I'm like, do you think PK doesn't get that? Now, and of course, good old Ricky. This is not Chase's Ricky, right? Is this Chase's Ricky?
I don't know.
Ricky on the YouTube chat, I'm still waiting for the bad info PK reported. Are you talking about Arden Key, Ricky?
Who?
Let us know. This is your test.
Was suspended, and then in order to win an appeal, had to have been suspended in the first place.
Yes. If your report cannot predict all of the future developments, then it's bad.
I guess so. Taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of people with their votes on either best football movie, best sports docs. Keep them coming on our text line as well. 615-737-1025.
Dabo as a villain is a good one. Dallas 4. Someone's saying Dazed and Confused is a football movie. Look, if we can count Dazed and Confused as a football movie, then that's, I don't know
if that meets the criteria.
That might be. I mean, they were on the field.
They were on the
rolling field. A joint at the end. And they also had the guy like, what, he's like, 16 starters, 25 Letterman, looking tough. You got about 2,000 yards in his arm here, boy. Thank you. Good to see you, sir.
If that guy, like, is Napoleon Dynamite a football movie?
Well,
with Uncle Rico throwing over the mountain.
Someone threw that in there, too. If we can count those.
You freaking idiot.
There you go.
Look at Nick.
Look at Nick jumping in.
Give me your tots, Joe.
Huh? Yeah.
Look at Nick watching a movie. It's good stuff.
Remind me.
Napoleon, give me some of your tots.
Oh, no, tots. Go find your own.
I think we may have just stumbled into Keezer's sweet spot.
Okay.
Big Napoleon Dynamite fan.
No, I would not, you know, I like that movie. I would not, I still wouldn't, even if I could count that, I wouldn't put that there. Liam's a good point. Revenge of the Nerds, John Goodman, football coach.
Yeah.
You know, the football players beat up the nerds.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can stretch things a little bit, then, you know. I think Daisy.
Well, if that's the case, if we can count all those things, a football movie, then the greatest football movie of all time, without question, is Forrest Gump. It's Forrest Gump. If we can count all that other stuff, I mean, he's a college football player.
Yeah. Well, Lenny just came with my answer, which is Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Jefferson. I mean,
I'm still going Gump.
You know, when Lincoln messed up Jefferson's Trans Am,
which
Forrest Whitaker, by the way, one of the great actors of all time.
One of the most underrated movie villains of all time, Jenny from Forrest Gump.
Now, that's
just
a great
dig
point.
Into it.
She absolutely she is a villain. She absolutely messed with his head and then just pops in at the end to get the money.
By the way,
that's pretty bad.
I'm sick. Yeah. Need your help.
Okay, I'll marry you. All right. don't touch me.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
615-737. What 025? We've discussed the Ernest Jones trade that the Titans pulled off yesterday. Now a new starting linebacker duo of Jones and Murray, we would assume, at that point. Defense got a chance to be pretty good. Offensively, we went through the 53-man roster. You keep the six receivers. Julius Chestnut's your third running back at this point. I would assume, hopefully, Hopkins will be ready to go in week one against Chicago. The offensive line, what do you make of what they've done with their 53 on the offensive line, Jalen Duncan making the team? I looked at the 53 yesterday, and specifically their group of linemen, and I thought to myself, all right, well, what happens if Latham goes down, or what happens if Petit Frere goes down? You know, you've got a Ajukwu there who they started off camp as the starter at right tackle. So maybe if it's right tackle, that's your answer. But I am – I kind of view Brunskill as a guy that I think might just be their utility knife on the offensive line. Like, if somebody goes down somewhere, then Brunskill may end up being the answer. Like,
you're saying,
like,
even at tackle?
Like, if Latham went down, you could probably move Petit Frere over to the left side. And Brunskill's played right tackle before. Now, I don't know if that's who you want playing right tackle, but I'm just I like, Brunskill to me kind of seems like the backup at a lot of different spots on the offensive line. That's just the way I'm viewing it.
If he is the swing everything, then they should give him a raise. You know,
well, I agree.
They prepared him to be the backup center, but yeah, I mean, he has,
based on what
he
you
never
saw
played
from
a snap a tackle here, right?
No. Based on what you saw from Ajuku, would you rather have him at right tackle? Would you go Brunskill? I tell you, I don't want on the field. I don't want Jalen Duncan touching the field. I do not want him on the field at any point this year for the Titans.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's a good question. And the thing is, I'm kind of a believer in the don't weaken two spots thing. Like, if they lost Latham, moving Petit Frere. If Petit Frere and Raidens are working well over there, I'd just try to keep that the same.
Well, who putting left tackle?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe that would be the answer. So, I don't know. That's an interesting thought, that Brunskill could just be everybody's backup. You are everybody's backup, Daniel.
I don't.
Or at least maybe everybody from left guard through over to right tackle.
Well, I just view it as, I don't feel great about kind of a swing tackle option right now, if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah,
there's just not like Ajuku, you know, we've not seen him in game action here for the Titans, so I guess it's best to withhold judgment on that. Jalen Duncan clearly wasn't ready last year, and quite frankly, based on the preseason, I don't know that people are feeling all that much better about Jalen Duncan at this point. So they need everybody to stay as healthy as possible, but particularly on the line, left tackle and right tackle need to find a way to be on the field every week for this team.
Yeah, no question. That's probably the biggest depth concern. They've addressed depth at safety. They do actually have some depth now at inside linebacker. I guess outside linebacker is still very questionable, but yeah, the offensive line, and that's the thing. You saw it, and it's against backups and all that stuff, but you saw just the overall difference from ones to twos Sunday. Big drop. And I'm sure a lot of teams would say the same thing, but yeah, you really would like to – you'd feel better if you had that third tackle that you're like, that guy can play. And that's where I thought a Christian or one of these guys would end up being that.
The days of having like a Dennis Kelly who could fill that role as your swing tackle – it's pretty good, right? Like, and when you don't have that guy, that's when you realize how important that guy is. And it just kind of feels like the Titans don't have that guy right now. That swing tackle that maybe shouldn't be an every down starter, but it can come in the game and you feel like it's not just going to be a total disaster over there if you put him at left tackle or right tackle.
Yeah, because I don't have a lot of confidence right now that Jalen Duncan. I'm a bit surprised. He's young, and so look, you know, whatever moves they make, again, I just assume it's just obviously Bill Callahan saying, yep, that guy has a potential, that guy can work with this guy and all this stuff, and so you trust that. But I kind of thought watching him play in camp this year, it's like, look, I understand he has some good traits, but he just can't play very well.
You know, which is a problem.
Can't play the position very well, that from what I've seen. But Bill Callahan. Trust in Bill.
Yes, trust in Bill. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Tune in to 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will open the season at home and take on Tennessee Tech. Pregame starts at 4:30. Kickoff at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5-106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the Rob rant coming up later this hour at 7:45. Rex Road, not ranting today.
I will not rant in front of dill hole. But But before we get to Dylan, Josh from White House, I'm done. Apparently, Ricky. You know, by the way, I was defending Kuharsky earlier,
and you were.
I keep asking Ricky for what was badly reported, and now all of a sudden he's gone silent. So let's go to Josh from White House, though. My goodness, Josh from White House says, "Wait, Joe, you just say you like Napoleon Dynamite? If he did, but hates Nickelback and Creed, then you aren't allowed to have opinions on pop culture anymore." So to review, you, Josh from White House, think Napoleon Dynamite stinks, but Creed and Nickelback are good. Get off the internet. Permanently.
What if you think that Napoleon Dynamite is funny and that Creed and Nickelback are both good?
I mean,
that's what I think.
You can at least exist in the human race still.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We've triggered people on the Jenny.
Jenny's a villain.
Jenny is an interesting... I think you're right. Yes, no, Megan is right that her father was the true villain. And I said that during the break. I said, yeah. You know, very tough. You know, obviously, I mean, look, that movie hits on just about every aspect of
life.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree.
She treated
to a
Forrest
point,
badly.
Megan. But, you know, there were points in her life where she needed to realize the love that Forrest was giving her, and she rejected it.
Yeah.
And then she got the money. She got that sweet, sweet
she
Apple
got
money.
That nice Apple money and Bubba Gump
Bubba
money.
Bubba Gump money, yeah.
You know. Cash just, rolling
just,
in, man.
Just saying.
Yeah, just saying. A little bit of leaving him in the middle of the night. A lot of things happen.
Yeah.
In that movie. Jenny's a villain.
Kind of a villain, man.
Underrated villain.
Sorry.
In the world of movies. Stilly's texting me. Why is Nickelback catching strays? Stilly, big fan of Nickelback, too. What do you think of that?
The only thing I know about Stilly's taste in music is he did karaoke after we did one event one time, like at a remote, and he did One Direction. So I did stop.
I would like to have seen that.
I mean, it's just you're eliminated. You're eliminated from the conversation.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dylan. Dylan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. So I feel like kicker doesn't get talked about enough, and so I always have to ask my kicking question. You know, folks not going to last forever, and they waived that undrafted free agent kicker, Braden Arvidsson, and I'm wondering if they try to sign him to the practice squad or if you guys feel that they should have let him go just because, you know, he could be, you know, swiped up by anybody else. And, you know, I'm just thinking about the long-term, you know, fate of the position just because we haven't really had many solid kickers in the past. So, like, just want to know what your guys' thoughts are on that.
Yep, thanks for the call, Dylan. Appreciate it. I think if they're able to get him through the practice squad, that would be worthwhile. I think he showed enough in the preseason where you feel like you might have something there. I do not think at this point, based on what we've seen from Folk, that he was going to unseat Folk. Now, I do agree with Dylan from the stand, and we've talked about this 1,000 times. At some point, they've got to find a kicker that is their quote-unquote kicker of the future. Like, you can't just keep going back to the well of 40-year-olds every year as your kicker and think that that's a long-term solution. You need a guy moving forward that you feel good about being your kicker for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Is Narvison that guy? I don't know. I mean, went through, you know, after the second preseason game where he hit the 59-yarder and then the game winner, we went through his college stats, and they were okay. And sometimes we see that where you're okay in college and you continue to get better and you improve and you're pretty good in the NFL. I'm interested to see if somebody else picks him up. There are some teams that need a kicker out there. You know, we talked about Malik Willis to the Packers. Well, guess what else the Packers need? A kicker. So we'll see if Narvison is that or if they get him through the practice squad. But if he does go through, I think it's absolutely worthwhile to have him on the practice squad.
Yeah, for sure. And I think making a prediction, I think they will get him through. The 59-yarder was fantastic, and that was a big night for him. And maybe that helps him. His career consistency level was not quite what you want it to be a starting kicker in the NFL. Look, Sunday at New Orleans, he had like a 26-yard field goal. It misses from about 35, maybe 32. I mean, he pushed
it
bad. And again, it's just one field goal, but is he going to be that high level of consistency? If they do get him on the practice squad, can he get to that? You know, I don't know, but I agree. I think it's worth the flyer if he's on the practice squad. I don't think anybody's going to pick him up.
I would lean that way too. Like I know he made the 59 yarder, and that's good to see. Did he show enough in the preseason where somebody who has not worked with him to this point is convinced that he's their answer every NFL Sunday at kicker? I don't know that he did that, right? Like, I mean, it was a great game against Seattle. Obviously, the 59-yarder shows you he's got a good leg.
Right.
So you like that, but did he show you enough where you feel like, I mean, yeah, this guy's absolutely an every Sunday kicker for us. Quite frankly, if he did that, then maybe the Titans would have made him their kicker over Nick Folk at that point.
Sure.
Even with as good as Folk has been.
It happens. It happens in the league. Folk,
I mean,
it happened
to Brett Kurt here. Yeah. I know it's a different position, but that's what happened here.
Exactly. So, and Folk, look, after what he did last year, I know he had the one bad kick in the preseason game too, but and this is also this team. This team is how many moves have been made to make this team good in the immediate and to try to be as good as possible. It's what you should be doing in the NFL. So, Nick Folk's your kicker, and it's not a bad place to be.
No. Now, I think the one thing with Folk that you worry about is, like, does he have the big leg? Like, if you need a 55-yarder or a 56-yarder, can he do that? I mean, some of that probably depends on the conditions that you're kicking in. You know, what time of year is it, all those things. But you don't feel great about it, you know, from 54 or 55. And you'd like to have that in your arsenal to be able to go to. And that's where, you know, you watch a guy boot a 59-yarder through in the preseason, and you're like, well, yeah, that guy can do that. But how accurate is that guy on a consistent basis from 38 and from 42 and from 44? Because Folk was automatic at that last year. I mean, what he missed, one field goal last year, and I think the field goal he missed was in that game where, like, Tannehill had to be the holder because they got Stonehouse killed.
That's right.
Right? So the whole operation was screwed up at that point. Or maybe that was an extra point. But
And he's still – what, he kicked up. He had a couple 50-yarders last year, didn't he? Didn't Folk?
Yeah, had a couple.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, obviously you'd love to have – I mean, look, if you can have your emergency QB and a long-range kicker and a, you know, a emergency long snapper, it'd be great, but you just can't do it. You got to make choices.
Got to make choices. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up. Also, Rex Road has checked out the Stallions documentary on Netflix. I'm interested to hear his thoughts on that. A lot of takes on that one, by the way. And then this week, the notice of allegations was handed out to Michigan as well. So,
how about that?
Good stuff. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com is with us on the program. He'll be with us for the next hour and a half. PK, what's going on? How we doing?
Good morning. Well, if you hadn't heard, Robbie and I hung out in Pittsburgh.
We did.
For a couple innings.
Did you guys get
wild coincidence?
Did you guys get any Permane Brothers?
I had finished my Permane Brothers.
Okay. Any Iron City?
I did.
Permane Brothers
much,
and Iron City
too
Light.
Much Iron too much Iron City.
There's Iron City Mango, by the way.
These guys are very good. Loyal to their seats. I don't understand that. Like, you buy tickets out in right field, and then if there are, like, several rows open behind the plate, you move your ass.
Oh, you're totally the guy who would do that.
No, I'm going to sit here now. I didn't go anywhere near the seat that I bought. I never do.
Good PK had a good spot, man.
What a Bostonian. What's
beautiful that? Park, by the way. PNC's awesome.
Great place.
I think the best park in the country. I haven't been to a few, but.
You think it's better than Wrigley?
Well, I mean, no. Well, Wrigley.
So actually, no.
But I mean, if you're talking about, you know, something that's built in, you know, somewhat recent times.
Why? They never should have torn down anything. You're going to get me all mad about Tiger Stadium being torn down again.
I agree.
Keep them all.
Good to see PK, though.
Yeah.
We had people tweeting us, like, what are you guys doing in Pittsburgh? I'm like, what's going on there? What's happening?
Somebody saw my picture and said, Paul Kuharski's on a baseball trip with Chase McCabe.
What does it all mean?
I said, we spent some time together, but it is a complete coincidence, which was weird.
It was. I got a text in like the fourth inning from PK. He was like, you here? I was like, yeah, are you
here?
Good stuff.
He thought
there.
I was scamming him.
I did too. Yeah, good stuff.
And that was the last time. That was we reviewed the last time that you'll ever do a rant in front of me.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, absolutely.
We did. Yeah. I still got to go back.
Which
and
wasn't
watch.
A rant.
Yeah.
It was a lesson.
What you gonna do the? You gonna do that? You gonna do the? I mean, definition of a rant.
It was just an instructional right. lesson.
Like how many times can you say the same thing?
I could say it until you concede that, in fact, it was not okay. a rant.
All right, I'm ranting today.
Okay, I'm gonna look up the internet. Okay, here we go. Douche. Okay, that's a French word. D-O-U-C-H-E.
It's a strong language.
A douche is a term for a device used to introduce a stream of water into the body for medical or hygienic reasons. And yet, I feel like the definition of it is sitting right next to me. Help me figure it out.
Nick, how is he so hurt by this? You were part of
it. I'm not hurt by this, but you've said the same thing 20 times. Like, we get it. It's not a rant.
You said the same thing 2 years in a row.
Joe, it was it's so much of a life lesson. I agree with PK on this one. It was more of like you were bitching at the fact that people had to behave a certain way on a Friday night, which I totally get.
He said, don't bemoan the refereeing. I came in and said, how was the game Friday night? I go, oh, these calls. Oh, my God. They called my son offside. He was onside.
I didn't threaten them, though. I didn't scream at them. So, Nick, you do this show every day, and you know that we often don't have a rant.
Well,
yeah,
when the
right?
consultant okay. said he wanted a daily rant, he wasn't saying, give me a rant every couple of days, and the other days fill it in with niceties.
No, he said, here, this is something that you can bring people back for. You know what, PK? I'd love for you to have a daily rant section, and you can just scream about whatever.
Bring me aboard. I'm ready to go. That's what I do.
Your rant was like 5 seconds of, this announcer shouldn't have done the game, and that's the end of my rant. You're like a little kid sitting in the
corner. Well, you didn't leave me much time after your 10-point plan for watching high school football.
We had plenty of time. We sat there and listened to you.
He's red again. He's red again.
He's red again.
We repeated it.
And I have a complaint. I went back on the YouTube to try to watch this because it's one thing to listen to it, but I wanted to see, you know,
the redness.
How red your face got. I went back to look at it on YouTube. It's not there.
Oh, really?
Did you get it removed?
I had it
What's
moved.
What's happening?
You know me with technology, so maybe I did.
Wow.
And I loved your tweet yesterday about pouring one out for Trey Avery with the video from Johnny.
We
he
really
could ask a question today. And there's practice squad hope. What do you think, Joe? Trey Avery, practice squatter?
They're thin
at corner.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Gabe Dudley-Lally should be first.
Brian Summers says that you don't understand that there's not going to actually be five tight ends and you've been flipping out about it. Is this true?
I'm not flipping out about it. It is a weird roster shape at the beginning. They'll change it. They have four defensive linemen that absolutely have to have five or six, so one of them will be gone. But same at corner. But I don't know that it serves them particularly well right at the beginning. We'll see how it shakes out. They did have five tight ends on the 2015 roster, and it lasted for five games with Chase Kaufman as the fifth in the last year of the Ken Wisenhunt era. There's a story up about that.
Nice. Okay. Joe, you viewed the Connor Stallions documentary on Netflix last night. Highly anticipated. What was your takeaway from that?
Either of you seen it?
I have not yet.
No, I have not seen it. Nick, seen it? No? Okay. Yeah, so first of all, it's well done. They did a good job. I mean, they got Connor Stallions going to the national title game. Like, they got Connor Stallions. They got him and his parents and his whole family, and he has not talked to anybody else, so I give him credit. The production is good. It's not as much of a – because I thought it was going to be, well, we got Connor Stallions. So, again, I thought it was going to be like your beloved Last Dance, which is like, let's say all the great things about Michael, and then we'll just ignore all the bad things. Yay. Yay, Michael. When he's a jerk, it's just because he's a competitor. Whatever. It's fine. This was not the hagiography of Connor Stallions I feared it would be. So, it was good from that perspective. I think, like, comparing it to the McNair doc, it was a much better done doc.
Okay.
Now, Connor Stallions himself, I mean, it's – and you know how this is with college football. It's like Michigan fans see this, say, see, Connor told you. Huh? He didn't cheat, and whatever he did was all on his own. Say, it's right there in the dock, right? And, of course, anybody else who's not a Michigan fan would see this and say, oh, so he admitted to cheating. And when he was asked directly by the NCAA, they actually had video of the NCAA interviewing him about being at the Central Michigan game. He's like, I don't recall being at a specific game, and then his lawyer like tried to change the subject. I mean, it's the thing is you come away from it objectively saying, oh, So he everything that they said he did.
Yeah.
But the big question is, his lawyer is trying to make it, well, how did they get the information about the spreadsheets and all this stuff? Because he's like, well, you know, if people were going to games and I'd like buying tickets to games, and then if they sent me some video, they sent me some, you know, I mean, it was a lot of BS from Connor Stallions. I'll give you Pat Forty, who I think probably sums it up as succinctly as you can. Quote, he wrote a review of it. This is Pat Forty. Quote, obsessive fanboy dedicates his life to Michigan football, ingratiates his way into the program, and works to help the Wolverines win by any means necessary. Because he's smart and a hard worker, he creates a niche for himself. Because he's a devious weasel, that niche involves going to extraordinary lengths to steal opposing teams' play signals. And blah, blah, blah. And he joins the rogues gallery of con men who help make college sports so weirdly fascinating.
I mean, that's a nice write-up right there.
That is a good write-up by Pat Forty. I mean, that's what it's like. And, you know, there's a lot of good, you know, interviews in it and things like that. Nicole Auerbach, friend of the show. Dan Wetzel, friend of the show. Tony Paul, Michigan Stater, who goes off on the Michigan Man thing. I mean, it's worth watching. I would definitely recommend it. And I was pleasantly surprised because I thought it was going to be straight up excuse making.
Yeah, I thought
there's
it was
a lot from him that is. I mean, he says his piece. It's like, I mean, I didn't need this film. I already had the signals figured out. And it's like, okay, then why is there a huge network of people going to these games and illegally filming the games?
Well, I thought it was going to be a Connor Stallions puff piece. So the fact that it's not that excites me. I'll watch it.
That was a good conversation about best documentaries. I don't remember specifically these two, but subject matter for me of Miracles and Men and Do You Believe in Miracles. Yeah. I'll watch anything about the 1980 hockey Olympic.
Those are both about the 80 team?
Yeah.
I have not seen either of them. I've seen the movie Miracle.
Yeah.
Who did those docs?
One of them is, I don't know. One of them is on Disney Plus right now. One of them is on Amazon Prime.
So they're new?
No, I don't think they're new.
Well, you
may check it out.
What about Made in America, though?
I don't know. Tell me.
Have you ever seen OJ Made in America?
Oh, yeah. It's excellent.
Okay.
Good stuff. We'll have to check out
I agree with you about the Jordan one. I mean, it's just too much hype. You can't produce it has to be some objectivity in a documentary. It can't be self-produced. Captain and the Jordan one. If you're producing it, it lacks a certain objectivity.
Well, since we're talking Michigan, the Fab Five, Jalen Rose did the Fab Five.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like publicity cringe. Film. Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. We'll get you into all things Titans.
Have some of that, PK.
8 to 9 with Paul Kaharsky as well.
Enjoy it. Might actually rant.
Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
First off, we talk about this a lot. Probably needs repeating and reminding every day, the internet is not real life. Very strange place, and there's very strange people on the internet, and they do weird things all the time.
Can see is Robbie as Thanos, and Joe is the big-headed wizard guy.
I didn't play to make any friends. I wasn't playing to be liked or anything, man. I played with a tenacious of understanding that I'm about to be stepped on versus let me step, you know? And that's how I play, man. I play with no apologies. If you didn't like what I was doing, or if you didn't like how I played, you either met the level or you quit.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on the program. I step out for one day last week, and now Rex Road can't rant in front of Kaharsky anymore.
Who was that played with tenaciousness?
You're going to find out here in a second. That's Kevin Garnett. So I'm scrolling, perusing the internet yesterday. And I come across the All the Smoke podcast. And it was KG and I think Paul Pierce was on. I don't know if this is something they do. I think KG does have a podcast. Maybe it's this one. But one of the dumbest takes I think I've ever heard was spewed out from Kevin Garnett yesterday as it relates to sports. And I just want to play this real quick for you. It's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. We've cut it down because there's a lot of rambling going on. But just the first part of this cut from Kevin Garnett yesterday.
Like 20 years ago, if I'm being 100.
You ain't going back watching the games, Lord.
If I'm being honest, bro, I don't think anybody in this generation could have played like 20 years ago
if I'm being 100, and this is to Ant, this is to everybody in our league, Tatum, all y'all. Let me tell y'all something, bro. 20 years ago, bro, you couldn't get to a triple step back.
Nah.
You hear what I'm saying to you? You couldn't get to a triple step back. And then if you shot that, it had to go in. You know why? Because we had efficiency back in the day, my dude, and it was so hard. It was too physical. And guess what? The league had to come off of it for the flow of movement to be able to have scoring go up, which is why we like to sit here and watch kind of the rat race of the high-paced game, right?
So that was part of what Kevin Garnett said yesterday.
You're in my wheelhouse here. The Post. Oh, boy.
So it's one of the dumbest things I think I've ever heard. And there's a couple facets of this that I want to discuss here. Number one, you know, in baseball, it used to be a big deal when somebody threw 100 miles an hour. And now you look around Major League Baseball, and I'm not saying it's commonplace, but there's a lot of guys that can throw 100 miles an hour in Major League Baseball right now. You know why? Because things have gotten better, and the technology's better, and people are stronger and faster, and they take care of their arms better. A lot of things throw the ball over 100 miles an hour. Now, not everything about baseball is better. Like, it irritates me that people can't hit the contact anymore, and it seems like there's too much of either striking out or home run. So I'm not saying like the game is just universally better around the board, but the skill set's pretty darn good, and it continues to improve. In football, like go watch a football game from 1984 and go watch a football game now. Go watch a football game from 1999 and go watch a football game now. It's almost totally different. Now, some of that's the rules. A lot of that's the skill. A lot of skill in the NFL now. Go hockey. Go watch a hockey game from 2000 and watch one now. It's a different sport. It's totally different. But apparently basketball is the one area of life where we just take a total step back when it comes to athleticism, when it comes to being able to play a game. You know, Kevin Garnett talked about 20 years ago that nobody would be able to play now. Like Tatum couldn't play. Anthony Edwards couldn't play. And I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm like, my first reaction to it is, well, LeBron James is in the league playing now. You know what he was also? He was in the league 20 years ago. He's pretty darn good.
And he came in at 18 and started kicking your butt immediately.
It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And this kind of brings up something else, too, because we hear this from time to time. Well, so-and-so played the game, so they would know. This is just a good reminder that sometimes people who played the game say some of the stupidest stuff imaginable as it relates to the game. And look, I'm not saying Kevin Garnett doesn't have valuable basketball opinions, because he does. I've watched a lot of Kevin Garnett. He's entertaining. He says some good stuff sometimes. Obviously, he was a great player and was a smart basketball player. But this is literally one of the dumbest things I've ever heard as it relates to a sports take. The idea that all these guys playing right now couldn't handle basketball 20 years ago because of how physical it was. First off, it wasn't that physical 20 years ago. It was not even as physical as the 90s. He's not even talking about the 90s, which is what everybody talks about. He's talking about like the early 2000s. It's one of the dumbest things I think I've ever seen. If you watch Anthony Edwards play basketball, or if you watch Jason Tatum play basketball, and you think they couldn't have played in the league 20 years ago, you're an idiot. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
It's an all-time pet peeve, man, and this is another example of – I mean, yeah, even Isaiah, my guy, I love Isaiah, but he had a tweet, you know, or maybe he retweeted it or something like, oh, these guys couldn't handle this. I was like, yes, come on. It's like to say that it's like you said, Robbie, watch the game. Just watch a game. Go back and watch a game from then. Like, people act like no one ever had a layup, right? Or like no one ever like got to the rim. They always got blasted in the chest if they ever tried to move anywhere. That's not at all true. Yes,
it was harder to get to the rim.
Sure, but I mean, again, go watch your beloved Jordan doc. I got all kinds of untouched dunks and layups for him. Was it just what happened? Why didn't he get the crap beat out of him every time he went to the rim? It's such an exaggeration. It is like, why do you hear football guys say, like, you know, like, you know, the guys of today couldn't have played back then? They might say, well, the quarterbacks got their heads knocked off and they didn't
the
get
rules
a 15.
Were different.
Yeah. You couldn't make a catch across the middle without getting blasted. Look, this is a thing across all sports. All guys think it was better and tougher and different when they played, and they have a jealousy about how it is now. Oftentimes,
but the NBA is different, though. It is because of the rules and all this stuff. Like it's way exaggerated by some of these old guys. You know, I just like this is a great example.
You want to? Here's a hot take for you. A lot of the guys that played in the 90s and 2000s could not play now because they can't shoot. Well, you have to be able to shoot and have some actual skill to you. Now, Kevin Garnett could have played.
Yeah, Garnett would be, yeah, he would still be an effective player. He also wouldn't be the unicorn that he was then. I mean, you know, Garnett was a unicorn at 6'11 with that skill. And, okay, well, now go against Wemby when Wemby puts a little weight on and see how you like that.
Yeah, like I said, not everything is just universally better. Yeah, I talked about the baseball part of it with not being able to hit the ball other than home runs and strikeouts anymore. Like, it's that part of the game is certainly
not better.
They're
changing the rules to try to make it better.
Exactly.
But I think the NBA, the other thing is, and Rex always fights on this, there were more eyeballs on the NBA back there. So more people watched it. So I'm amongst those that think it was better back then because I was watching it back then, and I'm not watching it now. I don't care about it now. Part of that's that my team was good back then, so I was interested in it, and my team has stunk for 30 years, and I haven't cared.
Well, you kind of got re-engaged
My eyeballs have been drawn more to the NFL, more and more and more, and that's a nationwide thing. Joe's going to somehow deny it now and deny the TV ratings and all of that, but the fact of the matter is the NBA is not what it once was in terms of interest.
Well, in the NFL, like Brady has talked about this too, and we you know, Charles Robinson brought this up last week on our show of – like Brady's kind of ripping quarterback right now in the way they're developed and just how, you know, it used to be more of an art that went into it just in terms of you had to know, I mean, you can't throw balls over the middle because somebody's going to get their head taken off. And now with the rules set up the way they are, with college football the way it is, like kids are playing too early. So, like, again, not everything across sports is just universally better than it used to be. But if you literally look at some of these guys, and I've talked about this a lot. Everybody talks about the physicality in the NBA back in the 90s and early 2000s. And they always put this like, well, LeBron couldn't play then. LeBron is 6'9", 265 pounds. He'd be fine. Now, look, LeBron flops sometimes. I mean, I've watched LeBron play for a long time. He used to play for my team. He flops sometimes. They all do. And you can't – there wasn't as much of that back in the day. But, yeah, he'd be fine.
That physicality of the NBA, by the way, wasn't by design. It just kind of went that direction, and then it became very compelling because of the characters involved. Lambeer as a headliner, Rodman as a headliner, the Oakley as a headliner, and the don't let Jordan to the basket at all costs,
kind of stuff. But you also remember the Sixers-Celtics, right? In the early 80s, they used to beat the absolute crap out of each other.
Right, I mean, yeah. Dr. J punching Bird. So that all became very compelling, but it wasn't by design that the league said, let's get physical. It was out of the personalities and the contempt that they had for each other.
Yeah, look, the league did change. The freedom of movement thing was a big thing for the league, and it was a smart thing. And so basically you can't just hand check the crap out of people on the perimeter, and it opened up scoring.
It's better.
But again, like my default example is my favorite team of all time, one of my favorite players of all time, Rick Mahorn, would be laughed at if he tried to play any level of professional basketball. He's a 6'8 guy who could like get some – he can't play. Like so many of those guys from back then could not – they would be laughed out of the league right now. Bigger, stronger, faster happens in everything.
More
nutrition,
skill.
Year-round skill coaches. I mean, all this stuff. Back then, people played three sports a year, right? I mean, it's completely different. The competition level has gone up so much, and yet we don't want to recognize that when it comes to individual players and their skill.
That's fine. Different era, different thing, different memories, and conversations like this.
Yep. Did that qualify as a rant?
But there's a right and there's a wrong, and you're not right enough. So you need to get yourself there.
Yeah. Desperation from you.
615.
I'm just calling you out as you need to be called out.
1025.
Still trying to recover
is our
from
phone
last
number.
Wednesday.
Yeah. We have,
we're trying to recover from you saying the same crap over and over again.
He's getting
that
ready.
We've heard already.
He's getting ready again. All things Titans coming up from 8 to 9. We'll get PK's thoughts on the 53-man roster, the Ernest Jones trade, and a whole lot more. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America.
like a social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.